Hey everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync. It's Tuesday, March 26, 2019. I'm your host for today, Sean Allen. Andy Turley is on vacation, and why don't we go around and have everybody introduce themselves, starting with folks who are not on the West Coast. There's one of you, and then we can have a fight between the West Coast folks to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Theo. I'm not on the West Coast.
I'm Joe, and I'm first on the West Coast.
I'm Gordon.
Blink on the West.
Okay, one of you has got to go again because you went over each other.
I'm Gordon. I'm in Vancouver.
Okay, Wink. Now you.
Okay, Wink's on the West Coast.
Oh, I love the chaos. I love the chaos that Andy introduced with having everybody introduce themselves. It's sort of hilarity. Awesome. Okay. So let's get started with some stuff. I'm going to do a few different ones first. I'd like to start on the Pony Stable repo, as we have three pull requests, all from me, which have been open anywhere from 3 to 14 days.
Ouch.
So let's start with number 102. This is a fairly small one. And I'd just like to get some anybody for this.
I'm not watching this repo. Now I am.
Yeah. There we go. So I don't think there should be any dispute that we can merge this. Yes?
Yes.
Just an updated email address. Boom. Wow, I watched it change right out from underneath me. Next one is 103. Stop building packages for unsupported Ubuntu and Debian. So this removes Artful, Trusty, and Jesse. Artful, Trusty, and Jesse. Yes, and I messed up the Pony C one, but this does look correct when coming back across this.
All right, well, let's merge it.
And also Cosmic, which we were not right. Cosmic, we were building the packages, but not that. I might have actually messed this one up. One moment.
I already merged it.
I know, I saw it. But give me one moment to check the travis.yaml. No, okay. So actually, no, that's right. I didn't mess it up. It was just partially messed up already. So that was cool. Nice. And so when I removed the thing, it was there. And you merged the other one. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
You're now watching the repo, so you won't have this problem again.
Yep. Okay, so it looks like this is a draft one. Okay, so we can move on from that. Is there any discussion that we should do, Joe, on Epic Eric's Pony Tutorial PR? It's number 369, Add Reference Capabilities Matrix section. He opened that a while ago. Looks like there was a bit of review. He had a comment like 19 days ago. Yours since then. Is there anything to add since then that you might have missed, or we really just waiting on him at this point?
Yeah, I think that I already kind of added my comments, I think that I'm waiting for the final draft here because. He says, I still want to revisit the text before I get comfortable merging this. So, when the final draft comes through, I will give it a final review.
Okay, I'm going to drop a note, says Pig, Jemsey, and I, when you need a final review of this. Sound good?
Sure.
Yeah. So we can make sure we see it and get updated. Boom. Okay. Ponylang website, we have no PRs. Cool. So that's all very good. One thing I wanted to check, because we haven't checked in a while, are there any issues on the Pony tutorial that we need to go over? No, probably not. They're all small things. Okay, So, Pony C and pull requests. Let's see. 3121. Would the best thing to do for this, Wink, is there something in particular we should do to test it? I mean, I'm sure it works, but is there any test that you would like anybody to do so that you'd feel confident, more confident in it?
Yeah, since I just pulled this out of the work you were doing on 3180. Mm-hmm. So it's been tested there, where it actually surfaced its ugly head. In normal running, it doesn't happen. So only if you make a recursive call to make file lib llvm, it happens.
Okay.
So normally that doesn't happen, but it did happen when we were making on the Debian. So.
Okay, so is there the CI test, is there anything anybody should manually test for this, or with the CI test, is that good?
Okay, CI test, especially along with the other tests that we ran on your journey.
Okay, all right, sounds good then there. Let's see, 3120, this is add examples in simple docs to collections.list. Where is this at? Looks like this is still in progress and would need to be rebased. Let me check with Andrew on that to verify. Okay, it certainly looks like it's still in progress. 3118, this is one that I opened. So let me explain the reasoning behind this a little so folks don't necessarily have to read it. Homebrew, when a new version of LLVM comes out, does not... It basically, you can brew install LLVM and that will get you that version. So for example, LLVM 8 until LLVM 9 comes out, at which point they update brew install LLVM to be LLVM 9, and anything which is relying on brew install LLVM to get them 8 will be broken and needs to be updated by doing brew install LLVM at 8. So problems here are is that at 8 doesn't exist until 9 comes out. And that even then, on each of these individual occasions, some other community member has to go through and get a PR through. So there can be, previously in the past, it's been anywhere from, on this occasion, it was about 24 hours that our macOS builds couldn't build because of this. With one of the previous ones, it was like 4 or 5 days while that managed to get through. So what I did in order to get us moving was to switch us over to installing LLVM via Mac ports on our CI machines. There you can target a specific version. For example, you can install LLVM 7, you can install LLVM 8 right now, in a way that it won't break in the future when a new LLVM comes out, which is a win. And so I figured as part of this, seeing how we're now relying on Mac ports for that install, we should just switch everything over to Mac ports for installing the OpenSSL that we need and the PCRE 2 as well. This speeds up our CI builds a little. It would make sure that there aren't at some point in the future some weird conflicts between Mac ports and homebrew. There shouldn't be, but you never know. So that's why I did this particular PR. And it looks like you approved the changes, Joe. So I guess you don't have any questions about it or any worries about this?
No, it makes sense to me as you were explaining it.
Okay. Any questions from anybody else who's on the call? Cool. Let's merge it then. Boom, boom. One interesting side thing to note from that, Joe, just in general, because you're on the core team for that. When I did not the 0.28 release, but the 0.27 release, I knew that that was the first one that we built the homebrew using LLVM 7, and I knew that that would the dependency on LLVM would break when they upgraded to LLVM 8. And I noted that on the PR that I opened, and the LLVM folks told me, don't worry, when we upgrade to LLVM 8, we run our tests and we make sure that any package which needed LLVM 7 specifically in order to build, we update that so that we do the at 7 and they create the at 7 package. They definitely did not do that. So I think the person was mistaken. So just a note on this, we are still going to have a thing in the future where we're going to have to do that, that change. Any point in time when we're not using an LLVM at for our default homebrew thing that we do for when it's being built for being installed by a homebrew. Currently we're using the LLVM at 7, so that won't be a case for a while, but it was that case for a little bit there, and we're still going to have that as an ongoing thing.
So that's our punishment for being up to date with latest LLVM.
Yes, it's actually that's kind of how I felt about it too when I found out that they don't do that update. I was like, so we're being punished. Good to know.
Why don't they have at? I don't understand. Is there a rationale for not having at 8 available right now, even though latest is also 8?
So I know that they don't like maintaining these backport things in general, right? Like when they introduced the at, like a while ago, the at LLVM 3.9, right? Which was when we were part of the conversation. Well, I was part of the conversation that got them to introduce that, right? Along with a number of other projects. They made some arguments as to overhead and maintenance for the LLVM project, for the homebrew project and whatnot. So I can't really speak to why exactly, except they don't seem particularly fond of having those around, and they look to deprecate them as soon as they can, and they don't seem to they don't go out of their way to actually add those. So I don't really know. It's something. I think you'd have to be a member of like a homebrew thing to really understand what their thinking is. But I know that they're not fond of the existence of those things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily fond of it either, but it's like a necessary consequence of LLVM breaking everything at every major number release. Like, and that's just, it's a consequence, right?
So I think at least it could perhaps be a cultural thing, in that homebrew really started with applications where you wouldn't necessarily need to support multiple versions of an application, right? And that could be difficult. I mean, do you really want to support like two or three different versions of grep, for example, right? What's the utility of that? And perhaps at least that got into the culture a little and sort of carried over to things like LLVM and perhaps maybe compilers as well, where there's a bit more of a need for those type of things, right? I'm guessing probably something along those lines, but I don't really know. I can't speak to it, but it's a thing that exists and happens and whatnot.
Yeah, it makes some sense from some perspective, right?
Yep. So, yeah. I'm going to skip over 3108, which is the try to build Debian packages using vendored LLVM, but I want to come back to that in a minute, and go to 3082, which is build lib LLVM dynamic lib. All right.
Yeah.
That's Winx. I guess it looks like this is this good to merge at this point?
Actually, yes, it's good to merge, but I'd like to merge 3121 first, and then because there'll be a conflict if one with one or the other. So I'd rather do 3121 and then do 3082. I'll rebase 3082 on top after 3121 is merged.
Okay, so I'm going to add a note that it shouldn't be merged until 3121 is merged, and I will add a do not merge label right now, just to make sure on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will we merge 3121 after the CI is complete?
Yep. That would be the plan.
Okay.
So whoever, let me add a note to that.
Yeah, and it'll need an approval too. So I'll take a look and do it with approval. Yeah, that makes sense. So I have left an approval, so it will be good to merge when the CI agrees.
Thanks.
Alrighty, boom, 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 cool. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the building with vendored LLVM and some of the conversations we had there. So Joe, I don't know if it was here. I think it was on, pretty sure it was on Zulip where we started talking. Yeah, I think it was on Zulip where we were talking about the, can we do this by building the Docker containers, right? And then reuse the Docker containers. I'm kind of wary of that approach at this point. Not because of anything about it, but more, at least for me, on a reasonably powered modern Mac, right? Building those containers for me takes it takes me about 90 to 100 minutes to be able to build each one of the containers, right? So just for like the Debian and Ubuntu's that we would be supporting before we take the CentOS and other RPM ones into account, which are currently on Kopra, and there's like four or five of them. It's like an hour and a half more or less to build one of these. And unless we have some way of spreading that, who's building the packages out, that's an awful lot of work for a person to have to do, at least in a manual fashion, right? Where this can basically take up an entire day of, here, I'm going to build this one and push it. I'm going to build this one and push it. So I think if we would go for that type of approach, we would want to have some system that is capable of building those images for us in an automated fashion where a person doesn't have to be starting and pushing each one. Thoughts?
So like I think what you're basically describing is like a script that you initiate the script like before you go to bed, and then when you wake up all of the images are built and pushed.
Something like that. Like it looks like Wink got it so that we can build LLVM using Cirrus CI, right? So to be able to take the work that was done there and do it in at least some type of situation, rather than like, I mean, if I just run a script on my laptop, it still means that I can't shut my laptop down or you know, disconnect it or anything else. And like it's like, hey, if we have one person who has a much more powerful laptop, a much more powerful computer, like say Wink does, and they can do it, that's great. But we're kind of putting something in place where we're relying on people to do that. So I think that like looking for something in a CI system that we have like that, where we could do that sort of thing, would be something we'd want to do. And at which point, you know, it becomes a conversation about how we're doing that. Is, does it make sense to build these images each time, or do we want to, or do we want to go back to the build, just build LLVM in each one of the images when we're doing the release and the test? And we could have a conversation about that. But I do think that we need to be doing it in some type of CI-ish or build system type machine where the resources are available to build all of these Docker images if we're going to do it for the testing that doesn't involve it. A human doing it individually by hand on a machine.
So yeah, I think that makes sense. So if we have so if we don't use the Docker image approach where we're reusing the Docker image that has LLVM already on it, would we just need to do this for releases or also for test runs?
We would need to do it for releases, definitely, right? And we would also need to do it for test runs. We want to be testing with what we're planning on building for releases, right?
Yeah. So in that case, I do think it's definitely useful to have a reusable Docker image.
I agree with that completely. It was more I wanted to get us to agreement first that whichever one of these things we do, either way, we need a solution for something that we'd be able to trigger to build images of some sort, either release ones for this or the Docker images, right? Or the Docker images, which will then be used by everything else.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Okay. So I'm going to shift my focus again back to looking at what are our possible options that we can do for that, for things, for how they can. So part of that I'm going to see is I'm going to try and take the stuff that that Wink did, and I'm 99.9% sure that it is not usable in CircleCI because of the memory constraints that are there, but I'm going to verify that that's the case. Also, I was talking to Sylvan. I'm going to look at if Azure, the Azure Microsoft pipelines would be usable for us. Sylvan believes that based on the parallelism that's there for that, that we might be able to use it, although I need to look into the amount of memory usage, et cetera, that go to it. And then we also have the build kite with auto scaling, a couple larger machines up on AWS where we could use some of the Open Collective money as another possibility on that as ones I'd be looking into right now. And if anybody knows of any other things where we could be doing this, that would be great to know about. The most important things are is that this is a fairly intensive thing CPU-wise and memory-wise, particularly memory-wise. Like this probably won't work with CircleCI because they have 3 gigs of memory as the max, and just building LLVM itself puts you right up against it. It's easy for stuff to start ooming because of that. And then also being able to trigger these things via some sort of API thing, as like particularly for building like the new Docker images or whatnot, there's not like a magic branch that we'd want to be putting these things on. And in general, we should be trying to get away from those magic branches anyway. So yeah, if anybody knows about anything that they think would be a good option for this, there's the release channel on Zulip if you're listening for this now, where you could stop by and chat about it. And is there anybody on the call who has any thoughts on anything which is not one of the things that I mentioned that I should be looking at?
I've got a question about making LLVM on CircleCI with J6 takes about, I think it's 45 minutes, and it takes another 10 minutes to run the pony test. So we end up with about 55 minutes on that Debian build, which is, you know, 5 minutes shy of the 60-minute limit, and
wait,
obviously
wait,
that's
wait, 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 wait. on Cirrus or Circle?
Cirrus.
Cirrus. I don't believe they have a 60-minute limit. And if they do, I know it's raisable.
Okay. Well, there was a 60-minute. I ran into it. So
okay.
It seemed to be there was a limit.
I believe that there's a thing on that. But yeah, their community one, you can do more memory. I'll look into the timeout thing again. In the end, for where they are right now with their fairly young service, there's no way to trigger that stuff via API, so it's not really a long-term solution for us.
Yeah.
But I was using it primarily to see what type of resources, like, do we have to throw at this problem in order to make it tenable at all. I was really using that as a stand-in for, let's work this out so that I'm not, like, spinning up a machine in AWS to figure out, like, do I need 8 cores and 24 gigs of memory? Do I need 4 cores and 12 gigs of memory? What exactly is a good, you know, system for that? And I think at least what I learned from that with the Cirrus one is that realistically, if we're going to be building a lot of these and we want to have it not take a really long period of time, that it needs to be like an 8 core machine with at least 24 gigs of memory.
Yeah. The other thing that I ran into, and I don't quite understand it, but maybe we're just on the ragged edge. But here, my system, which has 32 gigs of RAM, I have seen under some conditions, and I couldn't reproduce it. I have seen it eat all of memory, just climbs up and eats all of memory.
Building LLVM?
Yes.
Yeah.
But with both DFD linker and gold linker, it's always under 10 gigs in general, and never climbs up much above that. And yet, when I do a J8, I was getting an out of memory.
Yeah, I was confused by that as well. Like, yeah, I did a J8 on my computer here that I have. I have a Linux box that has 4 real cores and then the 4 hyper threads as well. And I did a J8 with that, and unfortunately I got distracted and had to step away while it was running. But the point when it got up to using 14 gigs of memory for me in that particular case, and that was about 60% of the way through before I had to step away, and I didn't see like where it got to when it finished. But so that's the highest that I've seen.
And did it, but it successfully completed.
It successfully completed, and I have 32 gigs on that machine, right, for memory. So yeah. I don't know where it got to. I know it was less. It did not get oomed on the machine that had 32, but we're seeing for whatever 24 means for Cirrus, it looks like it does get oomed sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one other difference is that on that Xenial machine for the dev build, they have GCC 5.6, I believe it was. I'm running 8.21. So that's another possible difference.
Yeah, that's certainly
can make a big difference.
Yeah. So one thing some folks might not be aware of is that, yeah, part of what I was testing with that is that I was using, that's using the base Xenial GCC that's installed there, because we want to be able to build this and link Pony and everything on each of the OSs that, you know, each of the distro versions that we're planning on shipping. So that would be Xenial would be one of those right now, along with me sneezing, Xenial and Bionic, right? And I was just starting with trying to get Xenial on that. So it could be, you know, that for some of these, yeah, that it's going to be more difficult. And we could run into some pain with, like, I imagine if older GCCs are using more memory for something like this, then certainly when I get to trying to do this with stuff like CentOS, which is even more conservative with its upgrade stuff for everything, it's much more likely to happen.
Are we adverse to building LLVM on a machine that's running newer builds? But then if we want to compile Pony for a particular platform, use the system install tool?
I am, yes. That's part of the problem. That's part of the pain that we got into, I think, we don't know what the system stuff was installed with, right? In terms of, was it built with LLVM? Was it built with GCC? Was it built with Clang? What were the compiler options and everything that went into this? And, you know, we said that we wanted to use, you know, the vendored one, or at least one that we built and we knew all the options and we controlled it and then statically link it in, right? To avoid all of those issues that we had before. So yeah, I'm still operating under that's what we want to do. And for what I think are very, very good reasons there, it really lowers the support options that we have to do quite a lot. And it's a matter of, you know, we haven't really done a lot of this before, so we're going through some learning pains right now.
Right. LLVM has some minimum requirements. I think it was, let me see if I can find it. I'll look for it. But I think it had GCC 4.8 as the minimum compiler it required.
Yep, and that's on all of our the environments that we're using. One moment, I have somebody at my door. Hello?
Just a little bit.
All right. It should be open. Okay, I'm back.
Immortalized on my sync call.
It's the mailman.
It's the mailman.
Like the mail delivery people have learned that I work from home. So yeah, every time they have a package and need to get in the door, they ring my bell. Just because it's quicker for them than they actually have a key they can use to get in, but they have to unlock another thing in order to get at that key. So they just ring my bell.
Right now, LLVM, I believe this is 9. They have GCC 5.1 as the minimum. So something to keep in mind.
Okay. All right. Are we done with this one? I think we are for now. You got anything, Wink?
No.
Okay. Let's see then. Let's see what we have. Do we have any need discussion there? No. Okay. Do we have any issues? Let's see. That's a, let's see. 3114, add more detailed documentation to our collection reverse. Yep, that seems like a good issue. Bug ready for work. Beginner friendly. Help wanted. In taking this on. Okay, that was an easy one. bring that up to date. See, what else do we have? 3112, that's in progress. 3111, compile PonyC on Raspbian. Interesting. LSB release, is that, I think, Joe, how are we detecting what platform we're on? Is that using uname in the
file? I don't remember off the top of my head. Let's see.
Neither do I. They're using LSB, and if we're using uname, it would be nice if we can find out from them.
Yeah, it's uname.
Yeah, so it's uname-n, right?
Uname-s is what we're using.
Okay, but let me ask that. Let's see what that gets us. What is your output when running? We might have to stop doing that. Looks like it might be problematic, at least in this case. I don't know about stop, but let's see. I would call that bug needs investigation, right? Of unknown complexity right now. So just bug needs investigation. Sound reasonable?
Sure.
Joe? Yep. Okay. Let's see. Okay. 3109, that's for the RFC for hard close. That's ready for somebody to pick up and work on. It should be an easy one. Enhancement, inherit if type constraints from Lambda bodies. We covered that last time, right? Yep, we did.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big thing.
So that's all of the new ones. Do we have anything? We don't have anything for needs discussion during sync, except for stuff where we wanted to discuss with Sylvan, and he's not around this week. Those are really just placeholders for that. Okay, great. So that's the open issue, new issues and PRs. And we're more than halfway through. Does anybody have any topics they'd like to discuss or any issues that weren't discussed on anything that we should go over? I guess not. Well, for anybody who's listening or who's on the call who might have missed it, we're in the process of shutting down the very short-lived Slack that we had. The Zulip is up to 97 members the last time I looked earlier today. That's cool. Maybe we can get to 100 soon. That would be awesome. I don't even think we ever had 100 in the Slack, but I'm not sure. We shut down the mailing list that we had. They're now read-only. They were getting very little traffic. So we're directing everybody over to the Zulip, one place. In general, I think we feel like that would be better, less stuff to support. And as part of that, the recordings of this meeting, the Pony Sync, are now hosted on a server at nearlyfreespeech.net because they are wicked cheap. That's why they're called nearlyfreespeech.net. And unlike previously where you had to sign up for the specific mailing list group, the Pony Dev one, you're able to listen to those recordings without any sort of quote-unquote paywall thing. So that's great, and they're all there now, and it's in the last week in Pony for the link to all of them in the past.
For posterity, the Slack population on February 27th was 89 members.
We're already past that.
Yeah, and that was because when I was reaching out to Rocket Chat, they asked how many people we had.
So
that we have increased our adoption since going to Zulip. That's a very encouraging sign.
Yeah, I was definitely worried that would be problematic, just given that like lots of people have Slack installs already as a client, you know, for work type things, and so. That is, it's very nice to hear that number's gone up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it might be in part due to it's easier to sign in with Zulip because you can just sign in with GitHub or Google or whatever without creating an account.
Yeah, and you also and you don't need to go through the whole get an invite thing, which is it just removes one more little step, you know, as well. So yeah, there's a couple things where it can be smoothed out a little there compared to the Slack, which is nice. And then you get the full history, which is so nice.
Yep. Glad we made the shift. Good work, everyone.
Yeah. I also really like the conversation model better with the streams and topics. It's so much easier to come in and follow along with what's going on and just drop out of it. I mean, even if you tried to assiduously use threads on Slack, the fact that not all the features you could use during a normal conversation worked in a thread was always a pain. And then just like being able, yeah, and then opening in a sidebar, there were just so many ways that they were painful to use. I'm really loving Zulip. All right. Well, if nobody has anything else, then I'm going to stop recording the call. Hey, Scott Fritchie joined at some point after everybody said hi. So even though you didn't speak at all during this, Scott, just say hi.
I'm lurking. And also hello. Hi.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So we got a highs at the beginning and a high at the end. It's like end on a high point. Haha. Boom, boom. I'm not good at puns. I'm sorry.
Highs and lows.
All right. Thank you everybody for coming.